I've been deeply moved and thrilled this morning, and I'm sure you have been too, as my good friend and brother Mr. Nicholson has spoken about my best friend, the greatest person who ever lived in this world. I do trust you know him as your friend, as your Savior, as your Lord. We're going to think for a little while about his co-equal, who is also my best friend. Now that may seem a paradox to you, but it isn't really. The Lord Jesus Christ has two co-equals in the universe. One co-equal is God the Father, and one co-equal is God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is my best friend, but the Holy Spirit also is my best friend. He's my companion day by day. And I trust that you'll come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, for in coming to know him, you'll come to know the Holy Spirit as your indwelling companion and your permanent guest. And so we're going to think for a little while about the Spirit of God, and perhaps a little while about the Scriptures of God, two great means of encouragement. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The Lord will bless to us this reading and other passages from his word that we'll be looking at. Let's bow for a moment and pray. O God our Father, we thank thee for the great person of whom we have been hearing this morning, and for his sacrificial death for us on Calvary's cross. We do pray that if there is one here who has never yet come to know him as their Lord and their Savior, that they may put their trust in him here and now. And we pray that as we continue to meditate upon thy word, that thou wilt guide us by thy Spirit into all truth. For we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The verse of the hymn has been quoted once or twice during this conference. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. What a great thing it is to think of his blessings. And what an encouragement to us as we travel through this world of discouragements and disappointments, to think of the blessings that he has provided for us. The word of God puts it in this way: Be not careful for anything. Do not be anxious or over anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In every circumstance of our life, we can find some occasion to thank the Lord for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Story is told of Professor James Stocker of Scotland. Some of his books you may have read. He wrote a book on the life of Christ and the life of Paul, and he wrote an excellent book on the example of Christ. He called it Imago Christi, which is the Latin for the image of Christ. Well, at one time he was preaching in a church in Glasgow, and it was his custom every morning when he mounted the pulpit steps to the pulpit to begin the service with a prayer of thanksgiving. One Lord's Day morning was a specially dull and dreary and dismal and damp day. What a day it was. Those of us who know anything about Glasgow know how damp and dreary Glasgow can be on such a day. The audience were waiting, wondering what their pastor would say on this particular morning, what kind of thanksgiving, if at all, he would offer to the Lord on that day. Well, in came James Stocker at the appointed moment. As was his custom, he bounced up the steps into the pulpit. He said, "Let us pray." And here is what he said. He said, "O God, we thank thee that every day is not like today." He had found a cause for thanksgiving. And every one of us, in all the circumstances of life, can find causes for thanksgiving. If we count our blessings, we can find causes for thanksgiving. Among the many blessings that God has given to us, to those of us who love Him and trust Him as our Savior, is the blessing of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of the Holy Scriptures. And these are two of the great means of encouragement that God has provided for us. We have noted that we can be encouraged by God Himself, the source of all encouragement. We have noticed that we can be encouraged by God the Son, our Savior, who brings to us God's encouragement, through whom it comes to us. We're going to notice that God encourages us by His Holy Spirit, who brings that encouragement and makes it real to our hearts. In this verse we have read, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And this word comfort is the word that we have been emphasizing during this weekend. It's the word paraklesis. It's a word that means He's called alongside to help us. It's a word that can be and is translated, for example, in the NIV, by the word encouraged, strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And we can gain encouragement by the Holy Spirit. Well, first of all, we better find out about what the Holy Spirit is. Or rather, I should say, who He is. Because it's very important for us to notice that the Spirit of God is not a what, He is a who. He is not simply a power and an influence. The Spirit of God is a real living person. A person with almighty power. A person with supreme influence. But He is a person. We're going to read in a moment from the Gospel of John to hear what the Lord Jesus Himself said about Him. And we'll notice as we read that the Lord Jesus speaks of Him as He and Him. He is a person. And we're going to see what the Lord Jesus Christ calls Him. Four times in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus calls Him the Comforter. That word Comforter is a form of the word that we've been thinking of. It means it is paraclete. If we were to transliterate it from the Greek, it would be paraklete, parakletos. It means someone who's called alongside us to help us. The Spirit of God is a person. Just as much a person as the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus said, I will pray the Father and He will send you another Comforter. The first Comforter, of course, was the Lord Himself. He was the one who came as the paraklete, called alongside us to help us. And He's still our paraclete. As we saw last evening, He's the advocate, the paraclete with the Father, our legal counsel who helps us in the presence of the Father. And there is a paraclete here on earth with us, the Holy Spirit, who is our guide day by day. The first thing about the Holy Spirit is that He is a person. The second thing we have to note about the Holy Spirit is He is a divine person. He is God. We haven't time to go into all the details and proofs and evidences that He is God, but there is abundant evidence in the Word of God that He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. He has the same attributes of deity that the Father has and that the Son has, and He is God. He is holy, and only God is holy. He is omnipresent, and only God is omnipresent. He is omnipotent, and that is an attribute of God alone. And we could go on and speak of the attributes and characteristics of deity that the Holy Spirit has. Well, you say, how is it then that the Holy Spirit encourages us? Well, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read what the Lord Jesus said about Him. In the end of the Gospel of John, we'll turn to John chapter 14 and see what the Lord Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 of John chapter 14, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And here's the first reason why the Holy Spirit is our encourager. He encourages us by being with us and by being in us. He's the heavenly guest whom God has provided to be our daily companion, to be with us forever, and to be in us day by day. Well, we ask, who is he with? And who is he in? Well, he is with those who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. He indwells those who have received Christ into their hearts as their personal Lord and Savior. In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, we read a very important statement. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we could turn that about and we could say, if anyone doesn't belong to Christ, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God. If we don't know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, then we don't have the Spirit of God within us. And all the blessings and all the encouragement that the Spirit of God gives to us, we can't have them. They're not available to us if we're not a real Christian. If we haven't really trusted Christ as our Savior. If we haven't given our life to Him. I wonder, do you have the Holy Spirit? Well, you can easily answer that question. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, if you have trusted Him for eternal salvation, if you have received the gift of God, which is eternal life, then you have received the Holy Spirit of God. But if you have never yielded to the claims of the Lord Jesus, then you haven't got the encouragement and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. But this moment, this very moment, if you're willing to acknowledge yourself a sinner and believe that Christ died for your sin, you can have the experience of the Spirit of God living within you. For that moment that you trust in Him, you receive the Holy Spirit. You don't need to wait for Him coming. There were Christians at Corinth who weren't living as they should have been living. Some were divided, some were leading immoral lives. But the Apostle Paul wrote to these Christians, and he said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? They were saved by God's grace, and therefore their body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. And every believer who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus is indwelt by the Spirit of God. And said the Lord Jesus, He'll be with you forever. And surely that's an encouragement. There's no danger of the Holy Spirit leaving these bodies of ours. He's with us forever. We are sealed, says the writer to the Ephesians, until the day of redemption, sealed by the Spirit of God. There's no possibility of Him leaving our lives. It's possible for us to grieve Him by the works we do, by the life we live, but it's impossible for us to grieve Him away. The moment the Spirit of God comes into your life, He is there to stay. And surely that's an encouragement to us. But there's more than that. Let's look further in the chapter. Let's look down to verse 26, and we read, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The second reason why the Spirit of God encourages us is that he encourages us by his teaching. He's our teacher, and we need to be taught. We need to be taught the things of God, for they're not the usual things that the natural mind understands. We need His guidance and His teaching. No man knoweth the things of God except the Spirit of God that is within him. And we need to know His teaching. We need to know about God and about His Word and about His love and about His Son and about His purpose. And the Spirit of God teaches us these things. Primarily, these words were spoken to the disciples at a time when the New Testament wasn't completed. And the Lord Jesus was intimating to these disciples that the Spirit of God would teach them the things that are revealed to us in the New Testament. But as we go through the New Testament, we discover that He's our teacher as well. We have anointing, and that anointing teaches us. The Spirit of God is our teacher. And we should be encouraged to know that we have a teacher with us all the time. He's living inside us. He's our companion. And He teaches us the things of God. He's our teacher day by day. But there's more than that. There's a third reason why He encourages us, and it's the same verse. Not only does verse 26 say He shall teach you all things, but He shall bring all things to your remembrance. Bring all things to your remembrance. Primarily, the Lord Jesus was speaking to these disciples. They had listened to the words of the Lord Jesus. These blessed, holy, wonderful words. Beautiful words of Jesus spoken so long ago. And the Lord Jesus is saying, in the days to come, the Spirit of God is going to bring these to your remembrance. You'll be able to pass them on to others. And in the mercy of God, we have in the gospel records the words of Jesus. Given to us by remembrance, by the Holy Spirit, He has brought them to remembrance. But we can take that phrase and apply it to ourselves. He brings all things to our remembrance. Sometimes we may be in a situation when we don't have access to a Bible. And in that situation, if we have saturated our minds with the Word of God, the Spirit of God will bring these things to our remembrance. But it's important for us to read the Word of God. We can't expect Him to remind us of things that we've never known, that we've never read. But when we've read the Word of God, the Spirit of God brings these things to our remembrance. Therefore, it's important for every believer to read the Word of God, to saturate his mind and life with the pages of Holy Writ. And then when the occasion arises, the Spirit of God will bring these things to remembrance at the very moment we need it. Isn't that an encouragement to us? But there's more. Let's turn to chapter 15. Towards the end of the chapter, we read in verse 26 more about the Comforter. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Not only does he encourage us by being with us and in us, by teaching us the things of the Lord, by reminding us of things of the Word of God and the things that the Lord has spoken, but He encourages us by testifying to us of Christ. That's His great purpose. He testifies, He bears witness to our hearts of the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. And He enables us to bear witness about the Lord Jesus. Are you finding, as many of us do find, that it's difficult to be a witness bearer? It's difficult to bear witness to others about Christ? Do you find that your tongue gets tied when you try to talk to others? My friend, the Spirit of God is with you. And He is able to bear witness to you. And through you, He is able to bear witness to others. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples just on the occasion of His ascension, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And we have that encouragement in the Holy Spirit. But let's think of a fifth reason why He encourages us. Let's turn to John chapter 16. It's significant, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus, who called Him the Encourager, the Comforter, the one who gives encouragement, gives us in these chapters the very reasons why He encourages us. Let's look at chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God, you see, is our guide day by day. He guides us in the understanding of the Word of God. But He also guides us so that our lives will be directed by the Word of God. If we need direction and guidance, and we do need it along life's pathway, and then we can be sure that the Spirit of God is the sure and safe guide. He'll never guide us contrary to the truth of God's Word. He'll always guide us in accordance with the truth of God's Word. He'll always guide us with the truth of God's Word implanted in our lives and shining on our steps. The Spirit of God is our guide day by day. He's not only our teacher, He's our guide. And there is the fifth reason why He is our encouragement. But there's still more. Look at the same verse, and we read, "He will guide you into all truth, that He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." He'll show you things to come.
The Spirit of God reveals the future to us. And in the Word of God, He has presented the future to us. And as we read the Word of God, the Spirit opens our eyes and enlightens our minds so that we not only know the things that are happening now and the things we should do now, but He reveals the future to us. And He reveals that in the future the Lord Jesus, our Savior, is going to be supreme. He's going to be glorified. And He's going to come again and receive us forever to Himself. And we're going to appear with Him in glory. And as He reveals the future to us and shows us things to come, we have encouragement from the Holy Spirit of God. What a source of encouragement that is. And then finally, the seventh source, the seventh reason why the Spirit of God is our encouragement, not only because He's with us and in us all the time, not only because He teaches us, not only because He reminds us of what the Word of God says and what the Lord Jesus said, not only because He testifies of Christ and enables us to bear witness, and not only because He guides us into all truth, and not only because He reveals to us and shows us the future, but seventhly, let's notice in the next verse, verse 14, supremely, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine, and He will show it unto you. Supremely the Spirit of God is here to glorify the Lord Jesus. He presents not Himself, but He presents the Son of God, our Savior. He glorifies Him. And He glorifies Him as He reveals Him in the page of His Word. And as He glorifies Him, we are attracted more and more to the person of the Lord Jesus. What an encouragement the Spirit of God is. Well, you say, what have I to do to get this encouragement? How can I be encouraged by the Spirit of God? Let me suggest to you one or two things that will be practical in our lives and give us the means of the encouragement of the Spirit. The first thing we should do is to receive the Holy Spirit. And we can only receive the Spirit of God by repenting of our sins and by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I'm going to ask again, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you turned from your sins and believed that He died for your sins on Calvary's cross? Have you had a moment in your life when you received the Holy Spirit through receiving the Lord Jesus? The second thing we have to recognize, that the Holy Spirit is within us day by day. That's vitally important. We can have the encouragement of the Spirit of God by remembering that He indwells us. What a difference it will make to our lives if we remember that. That day by day, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That should encourage us. It will also restrain us. If we know that the Holy Spirit is with us and within us day by day, there are things that we do that we wouldn't do. And there are things that we don't do that we would do if we remember that the Spirit of God is our daily guest. When you have a friend staying with you in your home, perhaps some of the bickering that goes on when you're alone with your partner and with your family won't go on when the friends are there. Friends usually see people in their home at their very best. And the Holy Spirit is our friend and our guest. He's our divine friend. Surely our life should be different, knowing that He is with us. And He enables us to make it different too. Recognize that He is here. And there's a third thing. And it's very important. The Word of God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit. You read that in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and 18. How are we filled with the Spirit? Well, the verse says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't allow yourself to be under the control and the influence of wine, but allow yourself to be under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. Just as a person becomes altogether different, when he allows himself to be controlled by wine, So a person becomes altogether different when he allows himself to be controlled by the Spirit of God. When day by day and moment by moment he submits to the Spirit of God in his working, in his life. Are you willing to be under the control of the Spirit? One of the first messages I gave in ministry was in my home assembly in Scotland. I had the audacity to speak on the subject of the Holy Spirit. At the end of the meeting, one of my elder brethren came to me. I was just a young lad at the time, probably in my late teens or just about 20. And he came up to me and he said, James, you were speaking about the Spirit of God. And you mentioned that verse in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. He said, what does that mean? Well, before I had a chance to answer that question, he asked me another one. He said, does it mean that the Spirit, that I can have more of the Spirit of God than I've got at the moment? I thought for a moment, but before I had a chance to think again of the answer, he himself answered the question. He said, no, it doesn't mean that I can have more of him. It means that he can have more of me. He can have more of me. And it means to be filled with the Spirit means that he has all of me. Every department in my life. Every decision of my life. Every difficulty of my life. The Spirit of God should be in control. Is he in control of your life? Have you submitted day by day to the controlling influence of that permanent heavenly guest who brings you encouragement from God in heaven? If you have never received him, will you receive the Lord Jesus tonight, today, and receive the Spirit of God and all his heavenly blessings? And will you day by day submit to his controlling power in your life? Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee for thy word that we have heard and read today. We thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee for the vision that we have had of him. Him there. We thank thee that the Lord of glory became the man of Calvary. We thank thee that the Son of God took our place and died where we should have died. And we thank thee that through his death and resurrection, there is available for all of us eternal salvation with all the priceless blessings that are included in it. We do pray that if there is anyone here who has never yet received the crucified and risen Lord as their Lord and Savior, that here and now, they may yield to his claims, acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, and pass out of death into life. And grant that all of us, recognizing the Spirit of God as our daily indwelling companion and guest, may yield our lives to him, be filled with the Spirit, and day by day live in accordance with thy will. We ask thy blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.